Well, hello everyone. Last week I made two videos about riding the tiger and about general methods of self-improvement. And I was in two minds about making this video, but I put some feelers out on Twitter and enough people wanted me to make it. And those Ride the Tiger videos performed well enough that I'm prepared to make this one. Let's see where this can go. One of the things that I have found helpful over the past several years is using tarot, the standard tarot deck, the Rider-Waite tarot deck, okay, with the classic art, as a tool of structured introspection, a tool of structured introspection, which can help you think about things in a different way. There's a spiritual connotation as well. There are some esoteric elements too to the tarot. But primarily, what it is a way of thinking about through your current challenges, your current problems, your current self, your the things that are troubling you, and using the process of asking it questions to basically think through these things in a way that has some structure to it. And the method that I use is derived from the man who helped design the decks. He didn't do the art. That was done by a female artist, the writer, I think her name was. This is done by A.E. Waite, who was a Victorian esoteric he was an esoteric Victorian gent who was involved with all sorts of different groups. He ended up being some sort of Christian mystic, and the reason that it's a cross actually is because it follows the Catholic cross as you do it. Okay, it comes down and then it goes across like that. So the positioning of the cards, which we'll get to, starts with two cards in the center, and then you go up, and then you go down, and then you go right, and then you go left. And this whole video is going to be about why I prefer using that method for the purposes that I use tarot for, which is structured introspection, and exactly how that can help versus the method that was developed in the 60s and 70s by a woman called Eden Gray, who was a bit more new agey, a bit more progressive. I think she was in from California. And in the 60s and 70s, the Celtic cross started being spelt with a K after Eden. So it was Eden Gray's method, not Waite's method. And she changed around the positions of two of the cards. And I'm going to go into exactly why I prefer the Waite method versus the Gray method. Well, just before we do that, and just before I play my ad, lots of people may have all sorts of hang-ups about tarot. I don't. I think that the fundamental idea behind what's going on there, if you truly understand it, is not weird or scary. It's just a way of helping you think through various energies in yourself. Along the lines that I was talking about in the two Ride the Tiger videos last week. Now, this is not going to be a video about how to do it. Okay. This is not going to be a video about what the meanings of the various cards are or how to interpret them. If this proves popular enough, maybe I'll do that at some later date. What I want to talk about here is the subtle progressive changes that Eden Gray made when she switched around some cards using her Celtic cross versus the original, and why, if you're using it for the purpose that I'm saying, which is structured introspection, versus the reason that Eden Gray was doing it, which was for fortune telling, for clients, for divination and fortune telling. Okay, she had a particular, she had paying customers come, and she wanted to, tell their fortune. Well, this is kind of a little bit like a carnival trick, if you think about it. It's carny, to use pro wrestling language. you know, your punters, and this person is, you know, using the cards to do some sort of magic, something like this. Whereas the reason that the purpose that I'm using it for is very different from that. And in fact, a lot of the books that you'll get on tarot are designed for people telling fortunes for other people. So one of the first rules that they have is, well, you don't give a reading for yourself. You only do it for other people. That's a kind of fortune teller code that they've got. Whereas one of the original purposes was actually you just do it for yourself and you ask it lots of different questions. So this already is a big difference between the way I approach it and the way someone like Waite might approach it and the purposes that it was then used for by the likes of Eden Gray. Okay. So anyway, we're going to get into all of that and more. I'm going to explain exactly what the Celtic Cross is, exactly what Eden Gray changed, and exactly why I prefer the Waite method coming up. Okay. I am not really interested in any debates around whether you should do tarot or not. Frankly, I just don't care. And that's not going to be a debate I'm going to get into at all. This is going to assume that you have some interest in it. And those people who don't, well, you can spout off as much as you care. It's not going to make a blind bit of difference to, you know, my view on it. Okay. So anyway, let us play my ad, which is for courses at the academic agency. It's promo code COOL. I'm going to play that now. And then when we come back, I'm going to go in depth on this. This is going to be perhaps surprising in the level of depth we go into when it comes, because this is an aspect of tarot I don't see anybody discuss ever. And I think it's pretty important. All right, let's get into it. Everybody wants to be cool. Like this guy. This guy is cool. Do you know who else is cool? People who do courses at the academic agency. And you too can be cool by getting a course today with promo code COOL, which gets you 25% off all courses today. Promo code COOL. All right, so I'm going to get up here what the original Waite Celtic Cross was. So, I mean, the first thing that you should do is you pick out one card, which is the Querent. That represents you. So you take one card aside. So the reading is done with 77 cards. And there's specific reasons for that, which we don't need to get into. So you pick out one card. And typically, if you're a man, that card will be one of the four suited kings. And it's the element, basically, that you'll feel closest to. All right. For me, surprise, surprise, is the King of Swords. That's your intellect. That's the air element that I've talked about before. You know, it could be for you, it could be cups, it could be the wands, the fire, or it could be pentacles, depending on which one feels closest to you. For me, I'm always King of Swords. Okay. If you're a woman, you pick the queens rather than the kings, typically. Okay. There are other ways of doing it, but 9 times out of 10, you're going to either be picking one of the kings or one of the queens out. Then, when you're actually doing it, you can get a sub. You know, if you the page can sub for the queen if you're a queen, or the knight can sub for the king. You know, when it comes up. But anyway, that's a small aside. Then, in the classic Waite structure, the first card that comes out covers him. Like, this is the fundamental issue that you're talking about. The second card crosses him. That is the obstacle, the primary obstacle that you're trying to overcome. Okay. The third card crowns him. It's what kind of stands above the situation, what the ideal would be. Okay. What ideally, if all things went well, this card represents what you want. Ultimately, okay. And then beneath is the fourth card. That is basically the unconscious energies or something that is kind of underlying the situation. That's the fourth card. The fifth card is what is behind him, okay. And the sixth card is what is before him. So what is behind him, card number five, is, you know, basically what energy has been recently but is now receding, okay? And the sixth card, what is before him, is what is now coming into being, where this is going. And then you have up the staff, as they call it, up the staff. If you can imagine, there's like a bishop or something, there's the cross, and there's, you know, holding a cross, and then there's a sword or a staff there, okay, a scepter. And it goes up 7, 8, 9, 10 are the last four cards. The seventh card is himself. That is the person themselves. In this case, it would be you. The eighth card is his house. Basically, that's your environment, the people around you, how other people relate to you at this moment as regards this specific issue. Card number nine is your hopes and fears, basically. And card number 10 is what will come. Now, Eden Gray, when she did her the variation of the Celtic cross, changed the ordering of it. She started her reading with, so basically, in the Waite version, 3 and 4 are what crowns him and what's beneath, what's above and what's below. That's how he starts on that vertical axis. Whereas Eden Gray starts there and goes around. What's behind, right? What's the? She starts with her third card is what's behind, and then she goes up with, she starts with what's behind, then she goes down there to what's beneath. Then she carries on with what's before, and then she finishes with what's above or what crowns. Okay, so she finishes with the top card, and it goes round that way. That is the Gray variation. Whereas, of course, in the Waite version, and I can stop sharing this now. in the Waite version, you start with above and below, where you know. So it's that in the Gray. This is that in the Waite. Now, this may seem like a small cosmetic difference, but it in fact has a lot of issues, this little change that Eden Gray made. First of all, why did she make this change? She made this change after dozens, hundreds of telling fortunes for people. And in her practice, a punter would come and, you know, they would have some question that they'd ask her. And for her, the narrative flow, she's trying to tell a story for the punter who's coming to tell their fortune. So she is looking for a forward narrative flow. And if you think about it, if you start with, well, what's behind and what's beneath, that's the basic situation. And then what's before and what crowns is a kind of progressive move. You're telling a story. The situation is like so. But it's moving into this. So you're basically, whether it's for good or for ill, telling a story with forward momentum. So her clockwise movement is also a journey through time, especially then because the 7, 8, 9, and 10, the 10 relates quite strongly to what comes before, like there's a relationship there. So you can tell that she's trying to tell a narrative through time. Also, this mechanism introduces other progressive elements. And I'm using progressive in its true sense here, a sense of progress. Okay. You, the person, the querent, is overcoming obstacles. There's a kind of questing story, a journey that is being told. This is the Waite version, which starts with this vertical and goes across, it follows the Catholic cross. Why is this important, in my view? Well, if you start with this vertical axis of what crowns, what's above and what's beneath, the above, actually, we so in the gray version, you're ending with that, so it comes after the thing that's ahead of you. So it feels like a journey towards that ideal. And it tells the story that you have that ideal and your journey is going to kind of make it towards that, right? You're going to kind of overcome. Whereas in this case, you're starting with the fundamental situation. This is the problem. This is the obstacle you're facing. This is how you ideally want it. Here's the energy underneath it, right? And then you have the horizontal movement through time. What's behind and what's before. So in the weight version, you have this vertical thing, which is all about your conscious mind, your unconscious mind, you know, the energies around you. That's the vertical axis. And then you have this horizontal line, which is all about movement through time. Whereas in the Eden Gray one, it's integrated. The two things are integrated, so you're already moving. Now, what am I trying to do? I'm not trying to tell a fortune for a punter. I am trying to tell the truth. I want cold, analytical truth about myself and about the situation. How am I going to get cold? How am I going to see things how they really are if the spray itself is trying to tell a little story? The weight spread does not actually tell a built-in narrative. It doesn't have beginning, middle, and end. It says, here's the situation as you find it. Here's what's likely to happen on the horizontal time. Okay, and then there's the scepter. Okay, it's just a different way of processing the same information. There are other things too, because in the gray version, you start with behind and below. So they form a little cup, they form a little couple. You tend to see them linked. And then you see what's before and what's above linked. Whereas in the weight version, you see what's above and what's below as the two things being linked, and then what's behind and what's before, what's ahead of you being linked. And psychologically, this also kind of change, it really starts to change how you process the information. And for me, I find the gray version introduces elements that could end up being dishonest. And it has its roots in that fortune teller client relationship. So there's an element of carny in there, right? Whereas the weight version was for a solo practitioner. Okay, so there's a very subtle shift that's gone on. But because Gray wrote this best-selling book in the 60s, I think it was, and that became the dominant mode, first of all in California, and then it moved basically all around the world, the Gray version is the version that is now popular. And the weight version, I don't know how many people do it. And you can see why the progressive clockwise version would become popular if the thing that you're doing is trying to tell your fortune. Whereas if the thing that you're doing is trying to do structured introspection and trying to think truly about what's important to you, then you're going to go with the original Celtic cross. Let me just talk a little bit more about the reason that you do this at all, okay, and how it can possibly work. Does tarot mean that you can see into the future? Like you're some sort of, like, truly, are you getting an insight into what's going to happen? Well, if that was the case, then anybody with a tarot deck would be asking, you know, who's going to win the races tomorrow and sticking a bet on it. Okay, it's not, that is not the right way of thinking about it. What can tarot do? Well, first of all, it forces you to come up with, well, what are the questions I'm going to ask it? Then you have to think, well, what's important to me right now? What is troubling me right now? So the very process of coming up with those questions in itself is important. But then when you start actually, you know, doing readings for yourself, you then in a way, as the cards come up and once you understand and get a feel for what they mean and so on and so forth, now there's lots of different ways of seeing individual cards. What I recommend doing is actually having many different, you know, like what they recommend doing is actually not consulting anything and just having a feel for what they are. Well, me being a scholar, master of research and so on, I can't really do that. I have built up a sense of what each card is and what each card does and what it says and how it feels through almost kind of reading across all of the literature out there and then thinking, well, what comes up time and time again, you know, and how does it feel, right? So there are certain things, that you start to pick up, right? That you start to pick up. Like, for example, Ten of Swords looks like a really bad card because there's a guy, if you see the Ten of Swords, there's a guy with 10 swords, like literally in his back, like he's been slain, okay? But the way to truly understand this is that something, right, there is some transformation happening and you've had to reach the lowest moment. You have to reach the moment of, you know, the lowest ebb in order to come up again, right? So you can understand this in a personal, you know, in terms of personal transformation, you have to have the moment of total death, okay? And the Ten of Swords represents something like that, as does the Death card, right? The Death card feels like scary. Oh, it's death, you know? It doesn't actually mean death. It means the death of something symbolically in your life that no longer serves you, that now means you can be reborn in a different way, okay? So things like this. Now, I'm not going to go through every single card, right? But there are, you do start to notice that there are themes and patterns. You know, the numbered cards, 2 to 10, each have something like, you know, number 5. The number 5 card is some sort of adversity, some sort of battle, some sort of struggle that you're having, right? The number 10 card in each suit tends to be some sort of culmination, right? You just start to notice these little things when you do it enough. But that's for you to figure out. Once you start doing this, okay, you then start, well, what are the things that really are really bothering me right now? And, you know, these things don't have to be of great weighty importance. They can be for relatively mundane and trivial things as well. Not too trivial, obviously, but, you know, for example, you know, recently I had a week where I was going to be parenting alone for a week. And I was apprehensive as to how this would go. How was I going to be able to step up and, you know, do all the things I usually do while also being dad alone for the week? And I had all sorts of anxieties about that, and I had all sorts of things that were clearly on my mind. And if I hadn't done the tarot, these questions would not have been aired. They would not have come out. And so then I asked lots and lots of questions about how this week was going to go and what it all meant, and, you know, what does this mean for my relationships and this, blah, 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 blah. And the very fact that I had done this, in a way, meant that I had experienced the week already, simply by asking the questions and living through it and considering all the different things that could come up, that could go wrong, you know. But because I'd been there already, the week ended up being a breeze. And I was almost a serene sense of calm because I'd already lived the week. I'd already done it. And this is, so when they talk about seeing into the future, I mean, does it really mean predicting the future? Not really. What it really means is that you've already been there ahead of time. You've already kind of foreseen all the stuff that could come up. And then, you know, I had this trip to Hever Castle that I mentioned that I went back on. And, you know, I was apprehensive about a couple of things that could, you know, that could have gone wrong during the day. And how would I deal with that? How would I make sure that the day went well, as opposed to make, you know, and, you know, it can be little things. But during that day, you know, a couple of little things did come up. A couple of things, they don't need to go into what they were. And it was like, well, going through it with the tarot, I was able to already have foreseen the possibilities. So when that thing did come up, when that thing actually did come up during the day, again, I sailed through it. I was able to embody the right energy and spirit to not let that thing, whatever it happened to, whatever it might have been, to derail the day I wanted. Okay, and this is the sort of thing that you can use it for. Okay, and various other things. It can be as trivial as, you know, should I keep on doing this game of the earth thing, right? As trivial as that. I can ask it a question like that, or it can be much more profound, dark night of the soul type stuff. And I mean, I will say there are weird things that if you do it enough, that come up, like certain patterns that reoccur, or certain, you know, the cards do have a way of actually relating to the actual situation or what you're facing. Like they've got this uncanny ability to reflect what's going on. But I'm not really concerned about exactly how that works, or, you know, I'm sure there'd be some atheist Reddit tier Nicholas Nazim Taleb way of explaining all that away. But I'm not interested in that, because the thing that we're using it for is a way of doing structured introspection, a way of thinking through your issues, okay, in a manner that means that you're going to do it. Because this is the important thing with all of these things. It means that you do it. You set time aside and you've done it. And if a little deck of cards can help you do that stuff, it means that you're doing it as opposed to not doing it. Because this is the issue with all of these things. How do you make sure you understand it intellectually, but how do you make sure that you do it? That's what I take from it. Everybody else can have their own ideas and do it their own way, but I thought I'd share this because people wanted it. So there it is. That's why I use the weight method, not the gray method, in terms of the Celtic cross. Pick up a course at the Academic Agency, promo code COOL, and I'll catch you all next time, if I can find the end button. Really, I should have asked the tarot, should I make this tarot video? I didn't do that. And now you see, I'm kind of like, how's this going to go? Whereas if I'd already been through it, I wouldn't care as much. This is the thing. This is the funny thing. Maybe I'll ask it now. I don't know. Anyway, bye everyone. If you like this video, be sure to like and subscribe. You can join the channel for thousands of hours of past shows in the archive and hundreds of videos. If you have any questions, you can leave a super chat or a super thanks, and I'll be sure to pick it up during my weekly office hours, which run every Tuesday afternoon. I also provide courses at the Academic Agency, which I encourage people to buy. Thousands of students now have taken the Trivium to improve their skills in writing, logic, and rhetoric. Just 3 of many courses available. Buy it now. But most importantly of all, friends, get out.